in Jesus' mighty name. All right, let's look at our Bible. Just do Bible study for 20 minutes. My friend has been traveling all morning to join us. I'll just minister for 20 minutes just to set the coordinates, and he will come and bless us by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, please come with me. I'd like you to see the progression of faith. The progression. If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
Progression. Hebrews 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, the Bible says, please, let's follow the reading carefully. It said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country, that is unheavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them what? Now, these were the first generation of Christians that tapped into the revelation of the fact that God had a city that he wanted us to participate in. At this time, that insight was premature. They did not understand the full scope of the work of God's economy as touching what they had stumbled upon in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. They were looking for a city. The Bible said they spoke plainly that they sought a country. But God had given unto them what? A city. So, those were the pioneers of that dimension of revelation. Now, when we move to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible now reveals to us, Paul gives us insight that we are already in that city that those guys were hoping to find. Are you? Now, so they were hoping. We are already the fulfillment of that hope. They were searching. We are in the reality of their search. Do you understand the differences between these two generations? Are you with me? Now that is doctrine. But you see, you don't understand how powerful the experience of the realization of this revelation is in practical manifestation. It means right now that you are actually in a city. And God's intention is that your consciousness of that city is going to grow. Your participation in that city is going to grow. And in fact, you will find the meaning of your life on earth from that city. Turn with me. If I turn now, we'll be distracted. In the book of 1 Peter, can we read that? All right. You see, that's where we are in reality. We are in that city in reality. But you see, for many Christians, they are blind to this understanding. And so we need to build the faith of people to come into the reality of that which God has already offered us. He wants us to be partakers in that which he has already offered us. First Peter, quickly. We'll still come back to Hebrews. Now, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 3. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby had given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now the Bible reveals that God, the reason why God had given unto us great and precious promises is because, you see, if you are going to go fishing, for instance, you put some worms on your hook. Alright? The worms that you put on your hook is a bait to attract what you want to catch. Is that not so? Now, in this scripture, God has given unto us great and precious promises. The intention in God's heart for giving us these promises is so that by those promises will attract us to want to search into God. And by so doing, we will end up being partakers in the realm of the divine. So the great and the precious promises that God has given unto us is actually a bait to draw us into participating in our reality. Did you get that? No, you didn't get that. The Bible says that ye are come unto Mount Zion, ye are come unto the city of the living God. You are already in that city. But the problem is that even though we are in that city now, the average Christian is not participating in that city. And so in order for God to make us participate, what he did is that he gave us great and precious promises. And anyone that wants to see those promises practically fulfilled in his life will have to probe into God and search into God. But unknown to him, in that he searched to see those promises realized in his life, he will find himself unconsciously partaking and participating in the realm of the divine. Are you with me? Now, let me give you an example before I proceed. Because what we want to bring out is a little bit deep. And that's why I don't want to preach it, I want to teach it. Amen. The Bible says, this Jesus speaking, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's a promise. Jesus will not make that promise if that promise is not possible in the realm of the divine. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
And then somebody becomes troubled, maybe studying the scriptures, and he finds that scripture. He says, okay, I'm sure that God did not lie. That's basic. So, what exactly does God mean by he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die? And that's a promise from Jesus. And when Jesus said that, Jesus said, do you believe in this? Hallelujah. Those are great and precious promises. They are promises beyond the comprehension of our minds. And Jesus gives those kind of startling promises so that in pursuit of his reality, we will unconsciously be found participating in the realm of our reality where God has invited us to function. It happens to be that because your nationality is of heaven, it is only in heaven that the secrets about your essence can be unveiled. You might attend guidance and counseling in Uniagric and never find yourself, because there is only one place where you can truly be discovered, in the city. When you come into the city, a lot of things, the knowledge that exists in that city is what we call the revealed knowledge. Because things are held in secrecy in that city. And when you begin to participate in that city, you do not only have the revelations of God as we all desire, but you find out that in the revelations of God that you contact, you also find the revelations of you. And it's needful for you to know that it is the you that is revealed that God sends. Hallelujah. God is not sending this carnal you. It is the you that is revealed that God sends. For instance, in my own life, praying one time, long time ago, God now said to me, teach now. He said what? Teach now. That means he was telling me that the ability to dispense the truth of God's word had been made available. Now, prior to that time, there was no insight as to teach now. I was preaching and doing some stuff, but when that emphasis came from the city, what happened to me is that I gave time to study the Bible. Because if I'm going to teach, I have to study. I remember those days, sometimes I spent 30 days on the Bible. 30 days. I pray in the night and study in the day. Until my parents said that the way I'm studying the Bible, I become mad. I become a colossus. But what I was just doing was just living out that which was revealed in the city. That's the place of your nationality. It is only in that place that your divine package can be unveiled. Are you with me? You'll be operating under the auspices of the ministry of the navigator. Just like God needs a man to come into this realm, he needs a man to facilitate his entrance into this dimension. You need a spirit to facilitate your navigation in the spirit realm. And so, our acquaintance with the Holy Spirit, by the time you go to the book of Revelation and you study the atmosphere of heaven, you see, we cannot touch the fullness of the dimension of the Spirit in this realm. Are you with me? Maybe Katrin Kuhlman or someone that has really had, that we can say had the richest fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Alright? That which that person has experienced according to the scriptures is simply a foretaste of the powers of the age to come. Because when we drop this mortal body, this body of earth, and we are plunged into that reality, you will find out that the existence and the civilization of that realm is such that is powered by the Holy Ghost in such a form and in such a manner that you will consider everything we have experienced, the miracles, the dead, everything that has happened to us on this earth as a foretaste. That is in that realm that you are going to see the full-blown expression of spirit power, because that entire civilization is powered by the Holy Ghost. And so, in the book of Revelation, you will not hear the name Holy Ghost. Because we are the ones God is trying to introduce him to here. When the Spirit of truth is come, Holy Ghost. But right there, it is his power that runs the entire civilization. So you don't need an introduction. Holy, no. What you will see in the book of Revelation is spirit. Right? Somebody wants to, they give you an invitation and say, come up here. And then, you know, say, immediately I was what? In the spirit. That's a transport mode of heaven. Can you imagine that kind of power? It's in that realm that we see the fullness of the spirit at work. But in this realm, we can only taste the powers of the age to come. You get that? You are not with me. See, I'm just trying to make you understand what goes on in that city. It's an active city. A time comes when the Holy Spirit begins to take you to spiritual places. Now, if I start leading prayers now, and I say, okay, let's speak in tongues. No utterance will be the same. Have you checked that out? Even if you like my tongue so much, or maybe when I was speaking it, you receive an impartation and receive some of it. You cannot say what I'm saying. Even though we are all operating by inspiration, can you imagine that spirit that can regulate and administer all those different things? Can you? You know, if the devil wants to administer stuff, he puts them in categories. Beer drinkers, fornicators. But if the Holy Ghost wants to do his work, we can be 2 million, he can handle you as a case study. That is just to give you an insight into the dimension of capacity that is available in the Holy Ghost. The way the devil will deal with beer drinkers is the same way, the same pattern. The way it dealt with beer drinkers and alcoholics in the time of our grandfather, their faith, their end, the kind of sicknesses that they had, liver cirrhosis, the same thing. Either resulting from excess use of BKT or dry gin. He needs to put you in a category. After he has successfully put you there, he knows your outcome, cirrhosis. But you see, God will deal with you as a unique entity. Even though we can teach generally, he will still need to come to give you specific instructions because you are unique on his shelf. The reason why he deals with us uniquely, the reason why you are speaking a tongue that is unique, it's because where you are in the spirit realm is different. If Elijah called down fire yesterday, it means it's possible to call down fire today. But the only thing you need to call down fire is you need to be where Elijah was in the spirit realm. In that place, those things are possible. You see, this city thing we are talking about, he didn't say you are about to come to Zion. He said you are there now. Most of us are too shallow spiritually because your estimation of life is that which you can see, that which you have heard, and the things that you have touched. But God wants you to deal with a realm that is not visible, a realm that you cannot touch and handle. He wants you to deal with that realm and participate in that realm. He will introduce you to beings from that realm, and you are going to stand with those beings. Those beings will partner with you to fulfill the policy of God that you represent from this city. If you study your Bible critically, you come to realize that in the army of Israel, not only human people were part of that army. And that was what God wanted Joshua to know before he went against Jericho. He said, you need to know the secret of this army. Let me show you the spiritual side of the army. And then he brought Joshua to meet with the captain of the spiritual side. And when Joshua came, Joshua asked a carnal question. He said, are you for us or against us? He spoke like a general. He spoke like a legionnaire. He spoke like a champion. Are you for us? What he was saying was, see, you know, you have heard my story. I did strange things, I did dirty things. You have one chance to reveal your identity and to say whose side you are on. Are you for us or against us? And the response was, nay, I'm not for you. I'm not against you. But I come in conformity with the armies of the Lord. If I find you cooperating with the Lord, I'm for you. If you rebel, I cut you off in the midst. After that answer came, Joshua learned wisdom and pulled his hand out. But that was not enough. Because he violated in his tongue, God gave him punishment. He said, trek around the city 7 times and don't talk. You talk too much. Tell your neighbor you talk too much. Go around 7 times. Learn how to use your tongue well. That's what happens when somebody does not understand the spiritual dimension. You will blaspheme. Jesus gave Peter, James, and John a great privilege. Took them to the mountain top, and he opened the vista and the shaft, and heaven came down on the mountain. And the countenance of his raiment were changed and altered. Suddenly, they noticed Elijah and Moses were standing. Now, you see, silence too is a response. Peter did not ask himself, how come we know this is Elijah? How come we know this is Moses? He didn't ask himself. Because in that realm, you don't need introduction. Language and communication in that realm is different. Now, I'm just trying to make you understand how to, you are in a city, my friend. And most of us behave as if you're on the ground when God put you in a garden. It's the ground that is cursed, the ground that brings forth tongues and pistols. It's the ground upon which humans will labor. But if you are in the garden, it's a different world. In the flesh, you attend to your least potential. In the spirit, your greatest potential. But you see, most people do not know the life of the garden. The life of the spirit. The Holy Ghost will not just reveal things to you. He will take you to a world. He will take you to his realm and get you acquainted with the realities of that place. Because right now, you are in a city. Hallelujah. Now, so Joshua had to trek for some time to learn how to synchronize with the armies of God. It took him 7 days extramural lessons, which he did day and night, just so that he could synchronize with the armies of God. And after they had trekked, hallelujah, God said, don't talk. And then the 7th day, you go 7 times. Then after the 7th time, shout! And when they down shouted, something, a wonder happened. Just study your Bible critically, you will notice that the wall of Jericho is a cuboid. If you have ever used a cube of sugar, if you turn it this way, it's the same height, turn it this way, the same height, turn it this way, it's the same height. So if the wall of Jericho fell, it would have been the same height. The wall of Jericho sank because the angels stood upon it and trampled upon it, and it went into the ground. Now, archaeologists have confirmed that. Are you with me? So it was the spiritual armies that did that part of the battle. Then the physical armies, after the wall sank, and if you see the wall, your fence sink, you are already dead, actually. But you are in limbo. In the interface. So this guy finished it in the natural. That was what God was trying to teach Joshua. That he was in a city. There was a city in Israel. Please let me tell your neighbor, you are not alone. When God wanted to teach me about the healing ministry, he told me that there were healing angels. Because, see, God will introduce you, the Holy Ghost will introduce you to spiritual beings. Is that not activity? In natural life, don't you get introduced to people sometimes? His name is, you have never met him. This is John, this is Raphael from Imo State. So in the spirit realm too, the Holy Ghost will facilitate introduction and acquaintances. And God was showing me how healing takes place. When people get surgeries, things are changed. Maybe your heart is changed, your liver is changed. Say, that one is the angel that works with you that will change the liver. Now, so you are working in partnership with the angelic dimension. And there are things you need to know about coordinating with those beings, because you are in a city. Hallelujah. Sometimes, like that, God allows us to see the angels, but you don't even need to see them, because He would have trained you to know the signs. Sometimes the signs are literal, they are not revelational. On your body, they are touching you. And when they start touching you this side, it means the person they want to minister to is that side. So you begin to coordinate, because you are in a city. So the Bible says that God has given unto us great and mighty promises, so that we can become partakers of the realm of the divine. You see, we naturally, we think like human beings. We think like normal people. But God doesn't want you to be a human being. That's not your description from His realm. Jesus was not a human being. He was a God man. God manifested in flesh. And Jesus is the syllabus of the Christian line, the expression of God's expectation for any man in Christ. Are you with me? The dimensions of God manifested through human vessels. That's God's definition of a man. That's God's blueprint for a man. And according to God's perspective, the first man that walked this world was Jesus. That's the first man that satisfied the design of man. Let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness. And that first man that fulfilled that description was the man that came out of the water in John the Baptist's baptism. Because God from heaven acknowledged that there was an acknowledgement, there was an accreditation. This is what a man is from my perspective. You understand that? So this, our natural life, we are used to thinking poverty, used to thinking defeat, used to thinking and walking in fear, and you are in oppression, in twisted perspective of life. This is an orientation that found expression on the account of the fall. And that's why God gave us those promises, so that He can draw us out of the miry clay and have us function in the position of privilege that He has brought us into by Jesus Christ. You see, the practicalities of the things I speak about are... Hallelujah. I had to minister to a madman one day, and as I was ministering, before I started ministering, I felt the angels touch me, so I knew that man would be delivered. So I just started praying normal prayer, but the effect of what was happening was not normal. Doing normal prayer, but abnormal things began to take place, and the madman was healed, and the prayer did not last more than 5 minutes. It was not a human being doing something there. It was a participation that was taking place. A participation between one in the natural and some in the supernatural. They were working to achieve a purpose. That is what God wants you to be. When you get to the office and somebody looks at you as just an old woman and feels that he can fight you successfully, the person is wrong because you are not alone. Even the madman of Gadara, he had insight enough to know. He said, my name is what? Is Legion. Because what? We are many. Did you get that? Now, because I've not started what I want to teach, I just wanted to open something so that you will see that whereas those guys in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 were hoping to find a city. They were actually cut off from civilization. They were cut because of Jesus. They were separated from civilization. They had to wander in wastelands and in the wilderness of the earth. And they knew that there was a country that they belonged to. They knew that there was a city that God had prepared for them. Their faith was priceless. But you see, we are actually the fulfillment of that which they believed God for. We are the generation that are living in the reality of their expectations, the reality of the promises that came to them. We are that generation that is living in that reality. And we would have failed them if we don't take advantage of the full potential of the privilege that God has made available. Most believers are just natural people walking across the streets of Makurdi, subject to the oppression of the devil, subject to the oppression of Satan. That's a beggarly state to be. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let's go back to Hebrews so that I can continue. Now there's something I need to pick out quickly. If I pick out that, I don't know how much of it we can touch today. We'll still continue. If we can't finish today, we'll go tomorrow. It's obvious that today and tomorrow we cannot finish the things God downloaded. If we don't finish this contact, we'll continue next. But you must see, you must function in that city. An intercessor was praying for his city for 25 years because there was a dark cloud of darkness that was over the land. The guy, the day he skipped prayer, he was too tired and slept. He didn't pray that night. He woke up in the morning and found out the dark cloud had gone. So he went back to God and said, "Hey, God, what happened? The dark cloud is gone." He said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, my son, Les Asomra, came to your town." Was he a man that came there? It was a city that came. I don't understand. People say there is witchcraft in Tivland. I have not seen it. Because where I come from, you don't need to go to a special village for witchcraft. Okay. All right. And those guys, okay. That's why you are living a normal life. You can be Kana. In my own, where I come from, it's either you are a herbalist or if you want to follow God, follow him with fasting. Chris Ajodo can tell you better. Go to Ibaji and you say you want to be singing hymn book as a profession of your faith, you will be one-eyed before the hymn is cut to an end. Every year at Inachalo, they will say they caught a woman at the river, that she was suspended between the air and the surface of the water. Then they use a rope, like this cowboy rope. They say, "What are you doing here?" He said, "My food is finished. So I'm standing on top of a building. I'm standing on top of a building. My food has finished." What building is that? She's telling you that right there's a city. But you won't understand. Oh. Use rope, cowboy rope. And it came to pass that Reinhard Bonnke decided to visit us. There was no space enough to gather the crowd because people were coming for the entire Igala land. So they went to one bush and used caterpillar to clear the place. They got to a tree. The caterpillar broke down. So the intercessor's land went on dry fast for 3 days. Because when they took matches and started cutting, blood started coming. I hope you know, those, they are there. That's where he's from. From my mother's side. Blood was coming out of the tree. Because people have hung their life on it. As long as the tree is there, they will be old and they won't die. Hallelujah. 2-3 days fasting, cut the trees down. The major stronghold mercy men started dying. And that was the evil forest that Bonke came for crusade. Is he a man that came? Or is it that came? While he was preaching the first night on the crusade ground, the rain that fell, he couldn't preach. He came down from the altar. Have you ever heard that Bonke came to a place, could not preach? Okay, maybe that one is difficult for you to imagine. Have you ever heard that MTN came and put mast, and they did charm, mast fair? MTN, engineers did mast. They came and said, this thing that they put here, that's why people are not coming to the park to travel. People from the park gathered, and they invoke one of the people that understand the area, and they mass mass fed. Bonke was, did you know that when rain was falling, the last surviving doctors connected themselves through telepathic means, and they were communicating, and they put their power together and brought that rain. They captured the rain from somewhere and brought it there. And then after some time, the last, because all the herbalists died, only one was left. When he communicates, there's no response. Communicate here, no response. So he went to the fire conference the morning to report himself that we were the one that brought rain. The mobile police didn't wait for him to finish talking. They beat the man to death. Say, we brought rain. And then he now noticed that the other men are dead. When he communicates, they were not communicating back. Was it a man that came into the city? Was it the army of Israel that went to fight? That's how God wants us to operate. We see you as one man, but it's a legion. Jesus was on the cross when he said that, well, see, if I actually wanted, I would have prayed my Father, he would have sent how many legions of angels? Do you know what a legion means? It's a Roman military term that means 5,000 to 9,000 soldiers. He said, ye are the light of the world. He said, ye are a city that is set upon an hill that cannot be hid. Tell your neighbor you are not alone. Now go back to Hebrews as I try to round up. Hebrews chapter 11. Are you there? If I had time, I would have told us how to participate more in that city. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. But Hebrews chapter 11, there's a verse there I need to pick out. Maybe we'll use another month to explain this verse. Use 1 month, next month. In Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 8, the Bible says, by faith, when Abraham was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Please check the next verse carefully. He said, for he looked for what? Now, you see, you know, this is Hebrews chapter 11. There were still. Are you with me? At this time, there were still what? They had received the revelation of a city, but they were hoping because Jesus had not yet come. But they knew that there was a city. Now, come with me. We want to pick something very important. He looked for a city which had what? Foundations, whose builder and maker is what? Now, come with me now. If we are talking about a city, a spiritual city, a spirit city, there's no way we can talk about it without talking about foundations. City and foundations go together. For he looked for a city that had what? Now, so if people do not know about a city, they cannot understand what foundations are. We cannot talk about foundations outside of the understanding of a spirit city. Foundations only exist with cities. You get that? Are you still with me? So he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's go to Romans. Now, I'm wondering about these guys. How did they find these things? These were the things that shaped their lives. They will not settle for the natural life. They were looking for some. When God told Abraham, look up, behold the stars, that's how your descendants will be. We thought that Abraham just looked at the physical star. Because if Abraham only looked at the physical stars, then you will not be born again today. Because the Bible needs us to understand. Jesus was the one speaking. He said, Abraham rejoiced when he saw my day. Of Galatians chapter 3, the Bible makes us understand that those of us that came to God by faith are spiritual sons of Abraham. That means he saw you that night. That is the only reason why you are his descendant today. By what technology did he see you when God called? That was a spiritual ceremony. A spiritual ceremony, I said yesterday, is an occasion that makes things go on record in the realm of the spirit. God gave him a blank check. Said, come on, behold the stars, as far as your eyes can see. That's how your hands will be. If he did not see you, you will not be here. How did he see you? I've been wondering about those men. How will Enoch, in the beginning of the earth, prophesy and say, I saw the Lord coming with 10,000 saints? By what sight did he see that? It was only Abraham and Moses that saw the same vision that he saw. Because Moses also recorded what he saw in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33. When he went to receive the law, it was then he told the real story that it was a city he entered. And the law that was upon the tablets of stone actually came from the Lord's hand in form of fire. It was Moses that said that. That God was there with 10,000 saints on that mountain where the people thought it was open. That Moses is lost. He was in a city. How would there be law if there's no king? No legislature. Where would the law come from? How would there be a court if there's no judge? And how will just men make perfect congregate if there's no city? God wants us to interface with the realm of our reality and to bring deposits from that realm into this realm. That's the only way we can renovate the face of this earth and cause righteousness to spring from our land and from our nation. Men must understand the code by which the Holy Ghost functions. By what wisdom did Moses open the river? That means the one that created it created a code that can open. It means the river can open now, today. If we know it, that's why they spent time in the city, because that was where the codes were. This realm derived from that realm. That's where we need to go to find out how to operate this one. Romans. Because Paul asks a question here. He's making some inquiries here in Romans chapter 4. Are you with me in Romans 4? Hallelujah. I meditated on this scripture for 2 weeks, 14 days. Hallelujah. My meditation did not yield much. Maybe you will help me. He said, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, found? Abraham, our father, as partaking to the flesh, had found. This is Paul asking a question. What did Abraham find? And the Bible says he sought a city. God was the builder, a city that had foundations. Now, Paul was troubled. He said, this man had so much stature in the realm of the spirit. He earned the honors in the kingdom of God. The honors as a friend of God. The honors as the father of faith. The honors as the father of many nations. And Paul is asking, what did Abraham, our father, find? My meditation did not yield much. I found some things anyway. What did Abraham find? Now, I hope you know who is asking. It's not a disciple that is asking. It's the one that was given the power of revelation. A man that functioned by the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. In the wilderness of Arabia, he said he saw things that are unlawful to speak about. And then he comes back from Arabia and says, what did Abraham, our father, find? That's the difference between a normal man and a giant. What you find in that city. Listen to me. What will you tell your son about God? If you want to educate your son now, what will you tell him? If you have not found anything, you cannot say anything. The average Christian is empty, not found anything. And we intend to command deliverances unto Jacob. We are not willing to participate in the city. Not willing to discover anything. Not willing to find them. Paul said what he sat into it. It was difficult for him to understand. What did Abraham find? I was told of Archbishop Benson in Lahosa. They were building Faith Cathedral. He was tired of buying gravel. And he came out after intense prayers and spoke to gravel. Gravel, do not finish a thing. And many years after he died, one of the missions testified that the gravel was never replenished from anywhere, but he kept multiplying every morning. Now, the point is this, what did Ida Hosa find? Because the more you have interface with the city, the more even the Christians that have not found as much as you have found will see you as a creature, much more a creature of heaven than a creature of earth. What did Abraham find? Went to visit somebody in the hospital in Lahosa, and he saw that the person he was going to visit, they were carrying the person to the mortuary. He didn't move. He stood there where the bed was, where they took the bed from. And the Holy Spirit quickened his spirit, and he was going to the attendants that were moving the trolley. He said, wait. Because they didn't answer him, he spoke and asked the man to rise and to go. The man followed him. What did Idahosa find? There was no rain in Benin, and the Oba of Benin called all the pastors, said that the ordinances he received from his forefathers to bring rain, he has offered all the sacrifices, but yet there's no rain. Then Idahosa was a young man, so the elders of Kan backseat, because he was a radical preacher and he had offended so many people, so they gave him backseat so that he would not talk in that meeting. Then the elders of Kan said, well, about 2 weeks when we pray, we'll get back to you. We are sure that God will give an answer of peace. In the house I changed seat. And he still didn't talk. They were about to do closing prayer, then he now raised his hand. The elders were angry that they were doing him. Then the Oba gave him time. He said, is that the only problem why you called all of us? Is that the problem? He said, yes. Then he now said, when do you want rain? He said, even if it can come now, there's no problem. He said, pastors, please hurry home. Don't be rain. And the people that disobeyed and did not hurry, they will be. What did either host have found? What did he find? We are no longer looking for stuff. We are talking about politics, about who is on the seat, who is the governor. Boko Haram. Wise men are seeking. For the Bible says that we have received not a spirit which is of this world, but a spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Bible says that the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, even the deeps of God. What did he find? What did he find? What did he find? Ahead of the great prophet, the founder of Christ Apostolic Church, came to a village that was known, renowned for witchcraft, and challenged them. He said, let's meet by the Roko tree in the marketplace, which is where their coven is. Let's meet there by 12 noon, so that even the young and the old can see what the outcome of that battle will be. By 12 they came. He said, he gave them 1 hour to kill him. Then he sat down. This is not hard. I heard you kill people. Kill me in 1 hour. He sat there. After 1 hour, the man cried in the name of Jesus. And literal fire fell from heaven and consumed that tree. It was captured on photo. Fire fell from heaven. What did he find? It's obvious I cannot preach my sermon today. I will continue tomorrow, but let me leave you with one scripture. It's John chapter 11. Tomorrow we'll talk about foundations, because I just wanted you to know that you cannot separate city foundation. Revelation 11. What did Abraham find? What did he find? How many hundreds of years later? The calling of Moses had nothing to do with Moses. God said, I have remembered my covenant with their fathers, my covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So come and go. Now, his calling was not ceremonious, because it was not about him. It was about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did Abraham find? Revelation 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which was without the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it shall be given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall then tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy for 1,200 and 80 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. These are human beings. They have a nickname, a name in the spirit, the olive trees and the candlesticks. And if you attempt to hurt them, the Bible says fire shall devour out of their mouth. Listen to me. The book of Revelation is already a revelation. So don't think it's spiritual fire. Literal fire will devour what? Out of your mouth. Are these people still human beings? No, I'm asking you now. Are these ones human beings? Are they still human beings? Okay, let's go. Fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be killed in, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven. Are there still human beings? If you stay long enough in that city and interact with it, you will function with a power that works therein. The Bible says these guys discovered the code. The code by which the heavens can be locked. Human beings can devour people with fire. Human beings that understand how to lock the heavens. These have power to shut the heaven, that it rain not in the days of your prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood. They have power over waters to turn waters to blood. If Pastor Dixon stands up with a rod and goes to River Benue, prays it, turns for 6 hours, touches the river with his rod, and it turns to blood, Nigeria can repent. AIT will come to Benue the next day, looking for an opportunity to interview. Even the Voice newspaper, I don't know, do they still print it? If they have, the printing press will be revived. Voice will speak. A man turned water to blood. Friends, there is power in the city. What I believe is this. It will not be time to die if we have not done something strange that no man can do. These have power to shut the heavens, to turn water to blood, to devour their enemies with fire from their. And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as the way. When you come to a place, preach, and they reject you, say, all right, I will go, but I will leave you with a sign. Whenever you feel what I said is necessary, this is my card. And it leaves a plague of smallpox. Because the Bible said they had power to afflict the earth with plagues as often as the way. It was not God that regulated those dimensions. It was regulated by them. You can actually know the code and make creation fight by what wisdom did Daniel interpret the writing on the wall. Till today, we don't know language was written. Mene, mene. Take care. Who fasted? By what wisdom did he unravel the rules? I am tired of being a natural man. The works that I do, ye shall do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. Where is that generation that will believe that the dead can rise again? By what wisdom could Jesus raise a man from the dead that was already decomposing? I shall not die, but live to testify of the works and the goodness of God in the land of the living. What has Abraham our father found? Friends, it's time to mount up with wings like eagles. There is something you need to see. There's something I need to see. And the holy city of Zion calls as many as want to search into the depths of God. For in this season, God makes himself available. He's crying from the streets to the simple ones. Anywhere you are, I want you to pray. Remember that you are the prophet of your life. You must take responsibility of those things happening around your life. God wants to bring about a change, but he needs men that would believe his word and take the risk to obey him. Cry to him. Sobalan deskata. Parade de makakwa la botama. What did Abraham find? What
did Abraham find? What did he find? What did he find? What did he find? Who did he find? What did he find? What did he find? Come on, Ramasanda Babu.